Hello, friends, brothers, sisters, strangers, those of you who are listening. My name is Matthew Monona, along with my wife, Victoria. We are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word hand car washing business. You can find us in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W, there in the Churchill Shopping Center where Pals is located. We invite you to come by the Wash and Word. And why? Well, we want you to wash your car. We want you to pay us. And we do a really good job at a fair price, and we use this money to bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. That's where the word part of Wash and Word comes in. So we wash cars, but we also preach God's word, and we do so because we believe that, in large part, the church has failed to deliver the entire counsel of God's word. And so by doing verse-by-verse Bible teachings, we get all of God's word into the public's ear, and we do it in a way that is a little bit unorthodox from the four walls of the church we've grown to be accustomed to. And so what you can do is come by the Wash and Word. If you're anywhere in the parking lot, maybe you're over by the library, or you're just sitting having your pals lunch, or whatever it is, you're waiting in line to get your car washed, you can turn to 107.1 FM. And what we do is we play these messages on a transmitter that exudes out into the parking lot. And again, 107.1 FM, verse-by-verse live, verse-by-verse Bible teaching. It goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anytime you need to hear a word from God, just come into this parking lot. I want this parking lot to be known as a sanctuary where God's Word is always being released into the air. And we know that God's word will not return void, and it will accomplish that which it has been released to do. So not only that, but you can join me for live verse-by-verse Bible teachings at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road here in Churchill. We meet there Sunday nights at 6 p.m. So come on out and support this ministry, support the Bible teaching. And if you believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is something that this world and this society needs, then support us by coming by and letting us work to earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. If you have any more questions, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. All right, so in a second here, we're going to get into chapter 8. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and being a verse-by-verse teaching, we leave off, we pick up right where we left off. So we finished chapter 7 in our last teaching, and chapter 7 was all about the parameters of marriage and single life, and Paul was just given all kinds of guidelines. It's a really great chapter, good studying, and if you need to go back and listen to this to catch up, you can download for free and listen to for free all of our archive messages. You can find them again at washandword.com under the media tab. So let's go ahead and get into chapter 8. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians, and this letter being written as a letter of teaching and caution and correction to a church that really resembles a lot of the churches that we see today. And so we're going to come to in my Bible, it's labeled as food sacrifice to idols. So we see Paul switching gears here in terms of his teaching, going from the marriage. Really, the first seven chapters have been all about relationships and sexual parameters and that sort of thing. But he's switching gears a little bit now, talking about food sacrifice to idols. Now, a cursory glance of chapter 8, you might think, well, that doesn't have really a whole lot to do with us, does it? You know, we don't sacrifice food to idols. But the representation of food being sacrificed to idols is an important and profound and actually a common issue among believers today. So the question, paraphrased, might sound more like this. Must I limit my Christian liberty based on what others think or how others live? And that's kind of the question Paul's going to address here. You see, not too long ago, I did a message about one's, a person's behavior and actions versus one person's opinions. In other words, one person might act a certain way, another person might feel a certain way about that action. Let's assume, for example, one Christian does not see anything wrong with going to maybe a rated R movie, while another might look at that and go, well, a real Christian wouldn't go to a rated R movie. Now, I'm not going to get into who's right or who's wrong. Again, Paul said, we talked about it already, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And this is where, I can remember one time I was at a pastor's meeting, and there was like four or five of pastors, we're all sitting at this table, and we were talking about classical movies. And the pastor that mentored me and raised me up into the pastorate, his name was Larry Sarver. He was Calvary Chapel, Palm City, Florida, pastor there, and So these other guys, I don't know if they were just playing or trying to pretend that they were holy. And one of them was like, oh, classic movies. Yeah, Casablanca has to be it. And the other one, and take bear in mind, these weren't old guys. These were 30, 40-year-old guys. These were guys who didn't grow up in the Casablanca times. Another one, I think another one said The Sound of Music labeled was one of their, you know, classic great movies. And Pastor Larry, God bless him, is so funny. He just shakes his head. He goes, what? Sound of Music? Have you not seen Die Hard? And, you know, that was like a first experience I had with a pastor who was real. You know, someone who wasn't playing pastor. He wasn't playing holy man. And, you know, and sure, he could have been frowned upon. I mean, if you ever saw the movie Die Hard, A, great movie. B, but there's swearing and, you know, there's things in there that a Christian probably shouldn't subject themselves to. But the question is not that should a Christian go see that movie. The question should be, was the Christian convicted by the Holy Spirit not to see it and then went ahead and did it anyway? Because if he or she is not convicted by the Spirit in regards to something that is permissible, then he is exercising his Christian liberty and freedom in Christ. Again, Paul says, not all things are beneficial, but they're all acceptable. That is that we have the freedom in Christ to do whatever it is we want. Listen, brother and sister, as a Christian, you have the freedom to do whatever it is you want. The real question is, as a Christian, what is it you really want to do? And so, if an action like going to see that movie is frowned upon by another individual or viewed as sinful by somebody else, should that other person stop doing it? Maybe somebody likes to have a glass of wine with a fancy dinner at a restaurant or even at home, a beer while watching the game. Or maybe the game itself is something somebody thinks you shouldn't watch as a Christian. Should you stop doing it just because somebody else views it as sinful? Well, I'll give you the answer. The answer is yes, or it's no, or it's maybe. Do you understand? See, that's not a question, and those were not answers. So let's face it. No one who's listening to my voice right now has probably struggled with food sacrificed to idols this week, right? But I guarantee you that the concept Paul is dealing with here is something we probably struggled with. Let's look at verse 1 through 6 here in chapter 8, 1 Corinthians. Paul says, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many little gods and many little lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. All right, let's stop right there. This reminds me of the vision that Peter had where all the food came down on the sheet and God said that all things are permissible to eat now, Peter. And this is kind of what Paul is addressing here. So much like the Jews offered Levitical sacrifices, these pagans offered sacrificed meat to their little gods. They sacrificed an animal and they burnt a third of it, the Jews now, and then they would give a third of it to the priests and then they sold or ate the other, what was left. And so the best place to buy good meat usually was right next door to an idol temple. So if you're a Jew and Paul's writing this to you, or, you know, a Gentile who's become a Jew under the new covenant of Christ, he might be saying, look, the best meat, or they might have been arguing, Paul, the best meat is right there next to the idol's temple because that's where they just sacrificed it. It'd be like saying, you know, if the best steak or chicken wings you ever could get was at Hooters and the men's ministry went there for fellowship to bond and to eat chicken wings, any Christian seeing these men eating at Hooters would assume that they were honoring more than just their commitment to get together. You know what I'm saying? And this is what people, onlookers, were doing when they would see these Jews eating the meat that was sacrificed to other idols. Some of them would frown upon it and say, how could you? Others would say, look, this is nothing more than just a piece of meat. We're not idolizing their idols. We're not worshiping their idols. We're just getting some good steak. Leave me alone, you know? Just like those men, you know, hypothetically meeting at the Hooters, you know, they would be seen by others as, you know, viewing waitresses over steak, or rather viewing waitresses as steak, maybe. I don't know. But listen, don't laugh. I know how men think. I used to be one. So there are two schools of thought to the one who's partaking in this idling food that has been sacrificed to idols. One group would see them eating, then they would proclaim that simply by them eating it, they are sharing in the worship of other gods other than Yeshua, the one true God. And the second school of thought was that the more mature and knowledgeable Christians realize that there is no idol there, that something made of wood or stone is no idol at all. They know Christ. They know Christ lives and that God rules, and that the meat that they eat, they're just eating it because it's really good, or maybe it's really cheap and inexpensive. And that's what Paul's saying. We have been given the wisdom to know what to eat with a clear conscience. We actually go back into bondage when we start worrying about what other people think about what we are doing, if we are not convicted by the Holy Spirit. And that is the underlying teaching, that when the Spirit does convict, what problem is most people still continue to do that, which then it becomes a sin. The moment the Spirit convicts you of something and you continue in it, then it becomes a sin. And this is the problem in the church today. And we see this all the time. There's lots of examples. For instance, one Christian will not have a Christmas tree because they claim that the Christmas tree is a pagan tradition, and indeed it is. You know, we just celebrated Easter not too long ago. Again, Easter, a pagan holiday that worshipped the fertility, the gods of fertility, and even sacrificed kids unto that god. Of course, Halloween, another big one. Some Christians celebrate it. Some don't want anything to do with it because it's the devil's holiday. And we see it in, you know, the aforementioned movies where one would watch something, or a TV. Some people I know Christians will spend their money going play a round of golf. Now, there's nothing inherently evil about playing golf. And let's suppose that you have, you and your wife have put aside vacation money or recreation money, and you take that money and you go play a round of golf. Costs, I don't know, whatever, $90. What if that same Christian took that $90 and went to the casino, spent only that $90, there's no addiction there, there's no, they don't drink while they're there, they're not smoking, they're not taking advantage of anything, they're just spending their $90 recreationally. Well, one might look down upon that. And so, you know, and again, we mentioned about drinking, some people, you know, about smoking. Of course, we go back to the body as the temple, so we can have some arguments there. Remember the movie Footloose? You know, sometimes dancing isn't illegal. Are we supposed to worship on Sundays, or is it actually supposed to be worshiping on Saturdays? Can I even watch the football game on the Sabbath? And what about music? Can I listen to heavy metal or rock music if it's not specifically worshiping the devil? And what about my friends? And what about my companions? The point is, where do we draw the line? What is the difference between one Christian's genuine struggle with weakness or just a Christian's judgmental personality? Now, that was a lot of examples I gave you, and to answer the question, what is the difference between one Christian's genuine struggle with a weakness or just a Christian's judgmental personality? Well, you'll have to join me next time, and we'll talk more about that. Again, you can come by the Wash and Word. We play these messages 24/7. Just tune to 107.1 FM while you're in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word, and you can hear these messages being played on a loop 24/7. You can go to the washandword.com website, click the media tab, and download and listen to all of our messages free of charge. We encourage you to share those. Don't forget to come out on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. You can hear live verse-by-verse Bible preaching. That's where I do my live teachings. And finally, come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're hearing these messages. Just give us some encouragement. We look forward to hearing you. and seeing you and working to serve you for glory of God. Have a blessed day.